Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray this morning that you would come and speak to us by your word, that we would hear, that we'd be challenged by it. Lord, that it would put us into thoughtful reflection as we consider ordering our lives according to Scripture. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm preaching a word. I'll eventually get to Luke chapter 6. I want to warn you in advance that I'm going to be traveling through a number of other scriptures to get there. And I do want to say in advance, I am mindful. And it's really going to tie into the message, but I want to make sure we have this up front. I am mindful that often what people want from me is clarity. People desire a very clear set of rules in their lives that they can live by. Some people. Other people, of course, want no rules, no authority. They don't want me to speak very clearly on issues. And what is going to happen this morning is I'm going to lay out the Sabbath and putting rest into action in very clear terms initially. And then I'm going to warn you that I'm going to muddy the water, as we say. And what I hope we come out with is a thoughtful reflection on your personal lives. So this is, again, one of these messages that at the end of it, I hope what I'm doing is actually putting questions into your heart that you take home, and by the Holy Spirit, you resolve those questions in a God-honoring way. Okay, so a little bit of fine print, and hopefully you'll understand why I put that out. And I'm sensitive to it. As I was writing this message, I also had two church members die and other things going on, and it was actually interfered with my practice of Sabbath. And so I'm aware of, very personally, what is going on in this message as I preach it this week. So muddy water, perhaps, but hopefully some clarity at the end, and we'll pray that God will speak to us. So the Sabbath, the concept of Sabbath is most clearly presented. There's actually an earlier text, but the most clear presentation of the Sabbath is found in Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments listed for us. And so I want to start there with a reading in Exodus chapter 20, beginning right at verse 1. And it's an interesting passage of Scripture because we get the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and always I remind us that it begins with the reminder that we've been freed from slavery. Because there's a tendency to look at commandments and rules and governance as something that chains us and binds us in life. But God gave these as part of the freedom that came from being delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery. So listen. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery." And so we would say in English, therefore. Right? It's not there in the text, but I'm going to add it in. "Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is a very clear biblical mandate, is it not? To honor the Sabbath, to take the seventh day and set it aside to God's glory. And I didn't really work into our message why we do that on Sunday instead of Saturday, but Sunday's the day of the resurrection, and the church shifted the Sabbath to that day. Just throwing that in there. But so here we are, we have this listing of rules, and I've only gone through the first four, but I want us to understand something, that a Sabbath rest, hear me, And you know, if you've been around me long, you've heard me, because I say this all the time, is on God's top 10 list. Right? I mean, the Bible's a pretty big book by most standards, right? And so out of all the rules and things in there, God picked 10 to make a really big deal about. And so to have rest on that top 10 list is important. It's very important. So I want us to just hold that in our minds. And I want to pause there a minute to say something very important as well. When we ask about biblical commands, people often in their minds, and I do this as well, and I think it's just human nature, we have a commandment in the Bible and say, why did God order that? You know, and some real easy examples is, don't eat shellfish. And we start going into, that's very reasonable. In the ancient world, they didn't have refrigeration. Cooking methods weren't that good, and you could get sick from eating shellfish. Okay, be careful with that. The first answer to the question why is because God said so. It doesn't have to measure up to some kind of rational proof in our lives to make it okay that God commanded us to rest. And so a lot of people come to this question of the Sabbath and they say, well, why did God ordain the Sabbath? Surely God doesn't care what I do on the Sabbath. Surely God isn't going to punish me for doing this on the Sabbath. That's the wrong line of discussion entirely. Now we're going to come back to that. But there's a place for those questions. That's not a reasonable request of God. Okay, that's not the place to question the Sabbath. And I want us to be careful, because we do that with all kinds of things. I'll never forget reading in a Bible study on Jonah, and it just flabbergasted me what the guy said, is that the very act of going out to find all these ways that a man could survive 3 days in the belly of a whale actually defeats the whole purpose of the story. We're trying to find some rational, reasonable way that he could survive in the belly of the whale. It says in Scripture that God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And as I like to say, that fish might have had a chimney and windows. It may not have been any living, existing species we know of. It does no good to honor God by saying nature produced this situation. Understand what I'm getting at? God's sovereign over nature. Mother Nature does not exist. Sorry. Other than as an expression that you can use lightly in your life. I'm joking. Okay. Mother Nature is not real. That's a pagan god. Okay. Our sovereign Father is in command of all the universe. And if he says take a rest on Sunday, I don't need rational proofs for why that makes sense. Now there are all kinds of rational reasons for rest. Amen? But it is God's will that we take a day of rest. So we begin with that very hard and clear fact, and that the question why needs to be carefully used in our relationship with God. Now, here we actually can ask the question why biblically, because he gives us reasons why. First of all, because God rested on it. Now, was God tired on Saturday? Got a little exhausted after creating the earth? I mean, have you looked at pictures of space? God was a little wrung out by creating this little bitty pebble in the known universe? No. And see, here's where we twist away from the very stark, clear commandment, honor the Sabbath, to muddy waters. God didn't need rest. He's pointing out that we need rest. He actually tells us that in Scripture. So here's one instance of a commandment given in Scripture where God is clear that he's acting because it's a very rational and reasonable thing for us to have is a day of rest. Isn't that interesting? The very creation of the world, God's worried about our day off. fascinating, the interest God takes in His people. I did a survey of the Scriptures this week, looking at all the occurrences of the word Sabbath. In the NIV, there are over 300 occurrences of the word. That's a lot. Just to put that in perspective, there are only two occurrences of the word Messiah in the NIV Bible. You didn't know that, did you? I saw a few eyes go up. Only two. I got curious about that one day. I was very surprised by that discovery. Only two occurrences of the word Messiah. Nonetheless, there are over 300 occurrences of the word Sabbath. And there is one very consistent theme throughout Scriptures, and it's all about work avoidance. Work avoidance. You shall not work on that day is repeated over and over and over again. But there's also texts that talk about denying ourselves. There are those of us, you notice I use the plural including myself, so we're going to put a group over on this side of the worship leadership area, chancel, and those of us who kind of have a natural tendency towards laziness. I can waste time with the best of them. You know, I can do nothing very well. Okay, and so there are those of us, but you know what? There are a lot of us, a lot of y'all, who would work every day until Jesus comes again? Because you just can't stand being still. The very thought that there's something out in your yard that needs to be done, at your office that needs to be done, with your children, that your car isn't spotless, it drives you nuts. I can tell by some of you not making eye contact anymore exactly who you are. The fact that there's work somewhere that needing being done keeps you up at night, in fact. All right, midnight cleaners? Any midnight cleaners in the house? No, nobody's going to confess. I know you exist. Yeah, you're welcome to come in our house at midnight. Yes, indeed, if you want to clean. Yes, indeed. So the reality is, for some of us to deny self, hear me, is actually to not work. Now, some of us, to not work is another thing entirely. See how it starts getting muddy? Because we're different. We're different. So rest cannot be just because we enjoy it, because some of us don't really enjoy rest. And God was worried about you when He made the world. That's something. The tender love of God for His people. Now, I guess the other side of that is those of us who exist over here know that we're supposed to work six whole days. So I guess He's ordering our lives as well by giving us a day of rest, telling us, hey, those other days you're supposed to get moving. Stop laying around. Psalm 92, 1 through 8 talks about worship. Another critical element of the Sabbath. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 8. It says a psalm. A song. Guess you didn't know psalms and songs are different things. Some psalms are meant to be read as poetry and other psalms are meant to be sung as music. A psalm, a song. For the Sabbath day, it's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and evil, all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. Amen. If we are super focused on our work, and maybe if we're super focused on our play, we get to a point where we're not able to do what this psalm does and just reflect on how incredible God is. See? Play and work keep us busy. They fill emptiness in our lives. Either way, you're avoiding emptiness and reflection. But actually, in reflection and quietness and solitude is where we have time to ponder the glory of God. His very nature becomes clearer to us as we meditate upon Him. When we stay busy, particularly with those who are obsessed with work, we often are doing this in large part because we're very afraid of what will happen to our financial security. No way of denying that. People work incessantly because they're afraid of financial collapse. And this is an interesting phenomenon that exists among millionaires and those who live at the poverty level. So it has nothing to do with the money. And I think the concern there is that we're not trusting in the sovereign love of God when we're focused on our need to provide for everything we need. And so for that person, as well as the person obsessed with play, Isaiah speaks a powerful word. I found this in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please. Hear that? Doesn't matter if it's work or play. From doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it, listen, by not going your own way and not doing as you please. Wow. Are speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land, to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now there's some clarity for you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hear it all the time. I'm too tired to go to church on Sunday. I want to sleep in. I think Stevie Nicks sang the song, "You Can Go Your Own Way." Stevie Nicks is one of the most unhappy people I've ever had the dishonor to serve when I was working in the hotel business. Miserable. You can't go your own way and honor God. You can't. But that doesn't mean you won't take joy in your life. Just the opposite. When you honor God, when you don't go your own way, then you will experience what Julia talked about, this certain joy that is so much more filling than happiness. Happiness is kind of like eating cornflakes for breakfast. It fills you up, tastes pretty good. I don't know about you, 10 a.m., I'm starving. I could have one egg and half a piece of toast and go all morning. It stays with me. And that's joy. Joy is staying power for life. And if you want to experience joy in your life, then don't go your own way. Honor God. And one of the ways we do that is by honoring His Sabbath. Some will choose to work. Some will choose to play. But let's muddy the water some more. Because this is where we get perplexing. Jesus never preaches a sermon about the concern of how people have abandoned the Sabbath. Not one. In fact, He does just the opposite. He does just the opposite. See, our culture has changed the discussion about Sabbath with the words I alluded to earlier. Surely God isn't so worried about what I do on Sunday morning. And truly, we understand here in the Bayou region, I'm going to muddy the water some more with its, and I know there's all kinds of various permutations of this, but we'll say with the 21 days on and the 7 days off. Or maybe you're a 90 days on and a 30 day offer. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oil field has all kinds of schedules that are completely in the way of anybody practicing a Sabbath if that's their career. What do we do with that? What does Jesus say about that? He doesn't preach about the oil field. There's no sermons in the Bible about the oil field, right? But what does Jesus say that will help us with that? Let's go to Luke 6, verse 1. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to look at some discussion there that Jesus has with the Pharisees about the Sabbath. Luke 6, 1 reads, "One Sabbath Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, 'Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' Jesus answered them, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is unlawful for only the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions.' Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Okay, as we read that, are we supposed to think that Jesus thinks the Sabbath is unimportant? No, absolutely not. In fact, he declares himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And honestly, I and other scholars who I researched this week are not crystal clear if Jesus is in trouble for walking on the Sabbath, or harvesting grain on the Sabbath, or if he's in trouble for watching his disciples do those two things. Because you're not supposed to be out walking around on the Sabbath, according to Jewish rules and regulations not found in Scripture. And you're not supposed to be harvesting grain, for sure, on the Sabbath. Just rubbing your hand together and eating a little grain, you just broke the law, buddy. And so we're not sure what specifically of those two they're upset about, but it's clear that Jesus is considered to be complicit by allowing it to go on. And in that conversation, Jesus makes this, and hear me carefully, a very troubling to the Pharisees claim that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, who states, thou shall honor the Sabbath? God states that. And so Jesus says here, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." Let me tell you, they were furious. Because he's claiming to be God there. Very clear. There's only one being who instituted the Sabbath, has the authority to do so, and that being is God. And for Jesus to say he's Lord of the Sabbath is incredibly shocking. And so obviously Jesus thinks it's important. As we've laid out, the Jewish emphasis upon the Sabbath is justified. But here's the problem. Here's the turning point. The Pharisees like their rules more than they like God's people. You hear me? They like the rules more than they like people. And one thing's clear about God and the institution of the Sabbath, the whole thing's about people. Sure, it's about honoring God, and sure, it's about worshiping God, but it's also that we need rest, as God explains in the beginning. So the problem continues as we go forward. Luke chapter 6, verse 6. "On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath." Really? Is that where religion takes us? "But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there." Okay, so what I want you to do is the man standing here. And we're going to pretend that you're the Pharisees and you're over there. And so he's called the man out of the crowd and put him up here and said, "Okay, you guys. Is it unlawful for me to heal this man on the Sabbath?" said specifically, I ask you which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil. Would it be evil to leave that man's hand shriveled if you could fix that? Yeah. That's obviously, look, I studied this in the Jewish writings. The rabbis of the day had made it to where, well, you could heal on the Sabbath if it was life-threatening. But if it wasn't life-threatening, then it was work. And you couldn't do that. Are you kidding me? How is it work to glorify God with a miraculous healing? I mean, how many of us would cut off our right hand to see God miraculously heal people like this in church? Wouldn't we? I hope we would. If you could heal it back, Julia said. Well, I'd let him cut off somebody else's hand, right? We yearn for this. We desire this. They actually made it illegal. Okay, got to understand why Jesus is so mad. So the Sabbath is important. Sabbath is a distinct part of our worship of God. But this is what religious people do. And brothers and sisters, we're always at risk. Remember last week I said church is one of the most dangerous things we can do. Because if we become like those Pharisees, we're doing evil. If it doesn't fit into our very clear-cut set of rules, see why I'm concerned about clear-cut set of rules. The Bible is very clear on things it wants to be very clear on, but it's also some things we need to be careful about trying to get some man to give us a set of rules in addition to what Scripture gives us. Understand that? Don't ever ask me to make up rules for you. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to any preacher. You make them a Pharisee if they do that. And we can do the same on our own. We can all do it. Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he set the dilemma up before them. Is it better to heal him or not? Verse 10, he looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious. Really? They were furious. And began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Jesus backed them into a corner. He's brilliant. He's God. He's unstoppable. And Scripture's so very clear. There are all kinds of exceptions found in Sabbath, in Scripture about the Sabbath. But the Jews had gone to these crazy, in particular the Pharisees, extents of declaring what was legal to do and not legal to do. And so he looks at them and he says, you tell me not to heal this man. And not a one of them opened their mouth. Let me just lay out our journey to this point, and then we'll conclude. The Sabbath is important to God. I think we've been real clear about that. Number two, we break the Sabbath by making it unimportant. We do. Number three, we break the Sabbath by choosing rules over people. It's every bit as much a breaking of God's word to choose rules over people. So how does something that seems so good go so wrong? I want to jump over to Mark's version of this story. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. Find Jesus speaking, same story, different point of view, different person watching. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So going back to the beginning, we really only need God to command it for the Sabbath to be important to us. But God does give us the reason. We need to avoid work one day a week. Because the avoidance of work one day a week causes us to be introspective, to notice how glorious God is, and it makes time for worship in our lives. And you can't do those things if you're too busy, whether it be play or work. Then Jesus comes along and reminds us not to get, if you will forgive my choice of words, silly about this. If you have to work to feed your family, find another day to Sabbath. If you have to work to heal someone, then heal them. If you have to work to help someone, then help someone. If you go out and work to the glory of God on the Sabbath, then God is still glorified. And no one can judge that but you and God. But don't be blithe about it, because the Sabbath matters. Consider your life schedule and put God in the middle of it. That's what the Sabbath does. What you do, put me in it. God says at the beginning in His list of 10 important things to do or not do. We've discussed two extremes. Either one is sin. To consider the Sabbath unimportant is a sin. To make the Sabbath more important than human beings is sin. We must find a balance where we're desiring to honor and glorify God because of the Sabbath. So stop asking why about the Sabbath. We've laid that to rest. We're all going to agree. Whether I did a good job or not, you're going to agree with me. We're not going to ask why. Ask the question, how? How can you honor God with a Sabbath? How's that for a better question? Thank God for it. Let us pray. Lord, we pray today that You would teach us how to put rest into action. That as we lay our life schedules out with You in the middle of it, with Your concerns at the heart of them, we in fact glorify You before a world that does not care about rest or cares too much. And Father, we submit our lives to You. We declare You Lord over our lives, even over our schedules. That we would be mindful. That You were mindful of us at the beginning, at the very creation of this world. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your lordship. We also thank You for Your personal love as a Father, by which we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.